Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. What a great day we've had.
Amen.
Wonderful worship and fellowship together this morning and a good number out today. Hope everybody had a good afternoon. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 22 this evening. We're going to stay there, so if you wanted to turn in your Bible there, we'll stay in Proverbs 22. Tonight is kind of a more of a survey, kind of a flyby of Proverbs. Each of the verses, as I was preparing this, each one verse could be a lesson in and of itself. I love the book of Proverbs. There are just so many good lessons for us as just people. Not only Christians, but as people. And if more people went by these, the world would be a lot better place. We'll be starting out in Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Interesting how it starts out. There's lots of things that people strive after, and there's really nothing wrong with that. But here we see the Word of God tells us a good name. Our name and all that goes with that is to be chosen rather than riches. You know, gold and silver come and go. Money comes and goes. How many times have maybe you gotten a little windfall of some, a tax return, or, you know, an aunt sends you some money or something like that? That's great. But it goes pretty fast. But your name and what it stands for. A lot of times I send out little messages on Monday and tomorrow has to do with this, that it takes a long time for us to build up our integrity as a person, our name. It takes a long time to build that up and even longer to rebuild it. Sometimes a situation comes either by our doing or something else, that we lose that integrity and it's shattered. And it takes a long time to, in fact, it takes more effort to rebuild than it does to build. And it takes a lot of effort to build up that good name. And we see here, that's to be chosen more than riches. And speaking of riches, you know, there is an advantage to being rich over being poor. But when you boil it all down, God made them all. And when that's kind of humbling. That's one thing that the rich doesn't have an advantage in. You know, there's a lot of advantages to being rich in this world. But they don't have the advantage that they're more special because they have money. They're all going to have to answer to the Lord in that great and final day. Verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. How wise is it to be able to foresee evil, to recognize evil? How many people do you know, and maybe you've been one, I know I've done it before, I can handle this. It's like juggling chainsaws. I can handle sin. I can get real close to it, and it won't bother me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides, he gets away from it. How many people go through life trying to walk a tightrope? seeing how close we can get to sin and handle it. It says the simple pass on and go to it and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. We talked in the first two verses about the rich and the name. You're going to get those. The riches and honor and life, the things that matter, are going to come by humility and fear and the fear of the Lord. Not being scared, but that reverent respect, fear of the Lord. In fact, without humility, I dare to say no one comes to Christ without humility. To be able to look in the mirror and see that there is a need for Christ. To realize that you have sin in your life and that you can't do anything about it. You can't be good enough to do what it takes to be saved, but Jesus can help. And to realize that it takes humility. You know, I've said it before, a lot of times we have 20/20 vision with other people, but then the person in the mirror that's inches away from us, we don't see very well. And it takes humility and that healthy, godly respect to be in good graces with the Lord. And what comes with that are riches, honor, and life. The things that you can't have without God in your life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The first verses we looked at, it said God made them all. Name a person that's going to go through life without obstacles in their life, without hardship, without problems that they encounter. There's going to be thorns and snares in everybody's life, but he who guards his soul will be far from them. And it goes right into when we love our children, we're going to train them in the way that they should go. It just doesn't happen. Training takes effort and consistency and love. And we're putting, giving them the ammunition to be able to deal with those thorns and snares. And when they are old, maybe when we're not around, they will be able to handle it. But it takes training. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. It's not necessarily saying you should not ever borrow anything. We all have cars, we all have homes and stuff like this. But I tell you, when this is saying, don't be indebted to others because they hold it over you. This world is an ugly place, as you very well know. And the powerful, I kind of like this cartoon. I just think of the things in the world right now going on. How the rich and the powerful, they expect everybody to do their bidding for them. And that we're there for their benefit. And we have to be leery of that. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. It's that age old. One of the things we see in the Bible from cover to cover is the concept, you reap what you sow. If you're going to sow iniquity, in fact, that's one of the things in earlier in Proverbs 6, sowing iniquity is one of the things that is an abomination to God, is those that sow iniquity. And if you sow iniquity and division and division, you're going to reap sorrow. And it's not good. And the concept, you reap what you sow, is constant throughout the Bible. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. We're going to see a number of verses here that talks about different parts of our body, our eyes, our ears, our heart. And that's what a lot of these verses are talking about. It's transforming ourselves, like it talks about in Romans. Looking out of different eyes. You know, nobody is condemned for what they have. Here it's on how do you use what you have? You can be generous and not have much. You can be generous and have lots. And it says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, because they share what they've got. And it goes back to that idea of pride and not being humble. Total difference of somebody that's trying to hoard what they've got, and they're looking out of different eyes, like somebody might be trying to take it from me. But you have that generosity in your life, you're going to be blessed by it. Cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. This is one of those hard things in the church to deal with. It's easy to talk about the love of Jesus and the love that God had for us and all of this stuff and how to live, you know, like a Christian. But sometimes when it gets to discipline, and here it talks about casting out the scoffer, one of those that causes contention and division and strife, you know, cast them out. It's not worth it, because it can ruin what's Paul talked about. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And sometimes you've got to get rid of that. Like I said, any one of these verses, we could do a whole sermon on. This is more of just kind of, I call it a drive-by. You know, we're just kind of going through this chapter. But each one of these, if you think about it, entire lessons could be on any one of these verses. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Here's that idea of the transformation, transforming ourselves to have a pure heart. How we conduct ourselves in our day-to-day life. And, you know, when you have a pure heart, it's not always going to be this way. But I tell you, not a lot of people have a lot against people with a pure heart. There's just some people that others don't have anything against. They're honest, they're friendly, they're outgoing. And once in a while you see people like that others, they just don't have anything bad to say about them. I've known some people like that you can ask 100 people that know them and they don't have anything bad to say. And it goes back to that first verse about having a good name. You know, that's how you're known. That's how people recognize you. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. Earlier, in Proverbs, there's a number of chapters that talk about wisdom. And there's a number of chapters that talk about how we should cling to wisdom and the wisdom of God and the knowledge of His Word and so forth. And there's nothing that can replace that. The knowledge of God's Word is very valuable. And we should be seeking after that daily. You know, look at how many times Paul in the New Testament tells the Christians to study and to listen to the words that are being preached. Love this verse. The lazy man says, "There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." Don't you know people like that? They're so lazy. Well, why can I? There's a lion. How about get up and get inside? How about get up and do something? Instead of, "Oh, woe is me. There's a lion. I'm going to be slain in the streets." There's a lion outside. Aren't you going to do something about it? There's a lion. What are you doing about that lion? I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not even going to get up and get inside and shut the door. I expect others to do it. How about go out, at least get up and get inside? How about going out and kill the lion? How about getting up and go and take the battle to the lion? I think of the lion as the world today, the devil in the world. What can I do? You can fight the devil. Draw near to the devil and he will flee from you. Or draw near to God and the devil will flee. You know, go fight the lion. Fight that devil. How many of us, every one of us, have got Goliaths in our lives? Some of them are bigger than others. And David fought Goliath. And he defeated it. If there's a lion, do something. The lazy man said, "There's a lion out there. I'm just going to sit here and get eaten." At least get up and get inside. Do something to better yourself. The government will help us. That's another sermon. Not going to go there. The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. Earlier in Proverbs, we see about the immoral woman, how dangerous she is. And here is just one verse about it. Immoral people is a deep pit. Not just women, but immoral people. They lead people astray. And you can fall in that pit. Just be going along, and if you're not aware and careful of your steps in life, you're going to fall in that pit. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. We're not talking about silliness. We're not talking about the silliness of a child. The foolishness of not discerning. Not discerning good and evil. That's why it was important to train up a child in the way that they should go. And to correct them. To take an active part in the path you're setting children on. To give them that discernment and knowledge of the path. A lot of people aren't on the path because they don't know where the path is. And we have to do what we can to help those children, to help our children, to help ourselves. And it's not just children that sometimes are caught up with foolishness. For he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. The people that oppress the poor to increase his riches, that's just a bully. That is just, you know, how many people do you know, especially, think of the workplace, that will step on anybody to go up that work ladder. They will sell you, they'll throw you under the bus, sell you out faster than they can do anything else. And we're taught not to be like that as Christians. There's no room for that, to live like that as a Christian. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Again, so far we've seen in just this chapter about eyes, ears, heart, lips, the different senses. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them be fixed. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Why this is important is to realize you're not doing it yourself. To realize it's God. To realize that God's knowledge is so much wiser than our thoughts. And to hold on to those and cherish it and increase our knowledge of God's word. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send you? Again, that idea of the value of God's word. God has taken time to preserve his words for us today. For us today. You look at how many secular writings have been totally lost throughout history. God's word has been preserved by his providence for us. And it would behoove us to embrace it, to honor it, to learn from it. Have I not written to you excellent things? And that's the word of God. Do not rob the poor. Speaking of bullies, do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. It all is a matter of respect. How we treat others. Stacy and I were watching a movie the other day. I don't even know the name of it. I wasn't interested at first and kind of got... You ever been one of those things, you sit down and you're kind of watching them, pretty soon I'm going to go do something else, and pretty soon you're invested. And I don't even know what it was, but it was about a woman that was kind of a maid type person, and people looked down upon her and said, "You're nothing. You're a nobody. You're invisible." Just because she could, because she was the boss. And I was thinking of that in regards to this. Do not rob the poor because he is poor. That's a bully. Just because you can, the Lord is going to plead their cause. The Lord's on their side. And that's one of the things about being a Christian. We look out of different eyes at people. We see souls. When we go to a restaurant or whatever, that person, the busboy or busgirl, in many people's eyes, they're nobodies. They're the invisible. What it must be for them, for somebody to show respect to them, to call them by name, to look in their eye and say, "Thank you." that says a lot. Don't rob the poor because he is poor. That's being a bully. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. I used to be that angry man. Growing up, well, not only growing up, well into adulthood, see if it rings true to any of you. Any negative emotions, fear, worry, tired, hungry, concerned, frustrated, any negative feelings would manifest itself through anger. Just out of maybe not fully understanding how to react. Have you been there? I have. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, don't go their path. Don't go down their path and follow them. It's going to set a snare for your soul. Because whoever you're following down that path, you're going to learn their ways. If you're following a mentor, somebody that you can look up to, that helps you be a better person, glory, hallelujah. But be careful who you're following down your path. Definitely don't follow that angry man. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? Be careful. It doesn't mean don't help others, but be careful. When you're backing somebody else up, are they as interested in it as you are? And that's what happens. Think of, you know, basically co-signing in somebody's life. They've wasted their lives. And now you're going to back them up? You've worked hard to build that name up for you. Obviously, they haven't invested in their life. And you backing them up, you wind up losing what you've got. And it just says, be careful. Doesn't say be stingy. Doesn't say don't help people. That's not what it's saying. Be careful who you're siding with. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. They're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Our forefathers, the Christians before us, have blazed the trail, making it easier for us. And we want to remove any landmarks on the trail. We want to remove the trail itself because we know a better way. They've blazed the trail for us. You look at what goes on in society today. This cancel culture stuff. There are people that want to do away, and it's not just here in the United States. They want to do away with previous history and rewrite it to their betterment. All it is communist propaganda. That's all it is. That's a history lesson. But don't, spiritually, don't remove the ancient landmark. Have your sights set on it. All of a sudden you start moving it. I'm going here. Now it's over here. Well, I'm going to get off the path. If our landmark's heaven and the target keeps moving, we don't know where we'll wind up. That's what many religions have done. We talked a few weeks ago about the church versus denominations. They've moved the landmarks. They've moved what the trail is. We need to stay on that trail. And it ends up, this chapter ends up, verse 29, Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Those of us that excel just in life, those of us that excel in our Christianity, we will be known for that. We will be acknowledged and honored, and our efforts will be known. If by anybody, God will recognize it. God will recognize what we do. Like I said, each one of these verses could be a whole lesson in itself. It kind of bounces all over the place with different thoughts, different ideas. Maybe this week in some of your devotional time, maybe just sit down and reread those 29 verses without me blurbing around. But if we can do anything for you, the invitation is always open. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent, we urge you to do that. Whatever your need, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song.